Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for your presence. We ask that your Holy Spirit continue to be poured over us, in our minds and in our hearts, in our hands. God, when we talk about the movement of your presence, help it to not just be something that we keep to ourselves, but God, that we share that presence with every single human being we encounter. Because God, in the world we find ourselves, sometimes love seems like a stranger. So Lord, help us to be reminded that when we see all of this hate and division and noise, that God, we have the opportunity to be a complete alternative, countercultural. We can walk the way of Jesus. So help us, God. We pray this and we claim this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can have a seat. Well, good morning again, New Albany family. Today, I'm going to start us off with a conversation about rock stars, theaters, and bars. Welcome to my stream of consciousness. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes we find ourselves in church and we pray the prayers and we sing the songs and we experience the deep presence of God, which is a great and wonderful thing. And yet, I wonder to myself, have we institutionalized this thing we call faith? Have we boiled everything that we know about God down to like 62 minutes every week, whether in a room like this or participating online? Have we made church something that it's, well, never intended on being? What is church anyway? What is religion anyway? Brothers and sisters, I'm super curious what it means to even be a follower of Jesus. Now, it's pretty interesting coming from someone like myself. I consider myself a professional Christian. I know how to say all the prayers. I even know when to sit and when to stand. I know all the things that I am supposed to do. It's just sometimes I wonder if this is what Christianity was, well, made to be. Is there something that we can experience, this kind of awe and wonder that we experience in worship? Can we experience that every day of our lives? Well, friends, I want to say that we can. And it doesn't even have to be when we're in a place and space like this. It can happen anywhere. Rock stars, theaters, and bars. A few weeks ago, well, it's actually been a couple of months ago, I found myself with my oldest kiddo, Adeline. We were on our way to see the Eras Tour movie, Taylor Swift. Anybody see this movie with me or go? Yeah, a few of us, right? And it was amazing to me. There were all kinds of people of all ages. There were kids and grandkids and grandparents, and they were all singing the songs together, many of them dressed up in incredible ways. It was really, really fun. Now, I granted not Taylor Swift is not everybody's cup of tea. Yeah, I imagine all of us have that song. You know the song that I'm talking about. That when we sing it, when we hear it on the radio, it's not necessarily a sacred song. It's a secular song. But when we hear it, there is something about that song that makes, well, life seem better. More inspiring. Dare I say the spirit rises within us? There's something divine about that song. And then there's a play. Many of us have found ourselves sitting and watching a play. And when we're watching this play, we see something bigger happening. I mean, I've experienced this through my oldest children. They're both engaged in theater. And the theater has been just this, well, it kind of functions like church. They've been included. They've been encouraged. These theater kids have championed my children who are newbies in the community. I have colleagues that participate in community theater, and a lot of times, you know, they say to me, Rachel, sometimes the community theater feels more like church than church. Huh. You know that moment when you're watching and suddenly you discover something about yourself, something about the world, something about making a difference, all from a play that your kid drug you to. Maybe we could learn a thing or two about church from community theater. And then there are bars. You know those places where everybody knows your name? Where a guy or a gal comes every single night and they sit at the same bar stool, and maybe they get a drink or maybe they don't, but they go there because everybody does know their name. They've experienced deep relationship and friendship in that place or space. Genuine community. Rock stars, theaters and bars, oh my. Could it be that we've relegated the presence of God to a particular building when God's presence could be felt anywhere and everywhere? What if that's actually possible? Well, I believe it is possible. When you think you have Jesus all figured out, then Jesus does things. He hangs out with people that you least expect Jesus to hang out with. And as I continue to read the Bible, especially the gospel, I start shaking my head. And brothers and sisters, that's why I'm a Christian. That's why I'm a follower of Jesus. The inclusive umbrella of the gospel opens my mind and my heart to the ever-surprising love of God. So once again, let's open our Bibles and our Bible apps to the gospel of Matthew chapter 8. Jesus is again hanging out in Capernaum. Remember, Capernaum is missional headquarters. This small fishing village, Galilean fishing village, is off the coast of the Sea of Galilee. And it functions as a crossroads of sorts. People from everywhere are walking through Capernaum. It's on a trade route. And sometimes when we read the Bible, we kind of assume that religious people, well, they lived here and they functioned here and they hung out with people here. And non-religious people, well, they functioned over there. But remember, Capernaum is considered the Galilee of the Gentiles. That means everybody's kind of smushed together. There's clearly religious insiders because in Capernaum, there's an archaeological evidence of a synagogue. But then there's a large group of so-called outsiders as well. It's in this mixture of people from all over the region that we find Jesus confronted by a Roman soldier. Hear these words again. This is verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? But the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve you to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now, wait a second, Jesus. This is weird. I thought you were supposed to be separate, holy, set apart. Jesus, why are you hanging out with a centurion, a Roman soldier? A centurion is over 100 other soldiers. Isn't this guy the enemy? What's going on? Now, even if this kind of activity is acceptable for Jesus, I didn't think it was acceptable for us. I mean, I grew up hearing birds of a feather flock together. Anybody with me on this one? I thought we were supposed to be separate. That's not the brand of Christianity I grew up in. Everything's separate, including people. Maybe you had a similar experience. I was shaped by the Christian music industry that mimicked everything from rock music to hip-hop, and I was encouraged when I was a teenager to burn my secular CDs. Anybody ever hear this? Yes, some of us, right? Because our parents were afraid that they were going to, like, corrupt our minds. And everything, we had all of our own, like, Christian everything. There were these, like, tic-tac-like mints that were called testaments that you could eat. Not kidding. This is a real thing. Or even, I had a whole wardrobe full of T-shirts that borrowed slogans from the culture, like, Jesus is the real thing. Or even Air Jesus, right? And no outfit was complete without a cross necklace and your WWJD bracelet. What would Jesus do? Separate, set apart, holy, not letting anyone or anything invade our space. And brothers and sisters, I grew up in that, and I thought I wanted that. In fact, when I was choosing a college, I wanted to go to a Christian college. None of these church-affiliated colleges. I mean, if you didn't have a bona fide chapel service that was a requirement, I wasn't even interested in looking at you. This is the brand of Christianity I grew up in. And yet I went to said college and suddenly I started wrestling with the scriptures. And Jesus messed with me in an incredible way. And I started having questions and I began wondering who's on the inside and who's on the outside, because Jesus seems to really muddy the waters. And that's when I heard the call of Jesus to stay curious. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay curious. Oh, friends, staying curious is not for the faint of heart. We human beings really do enjoy having all the answers. It's so much easier to boil life down, particularly faith down, to a series of right answers. Why do you think folks are so nervous when they have to, like, teach kids or teenagers? More often than not, when someone's like, I don't want to teach kids or teenagers, and I ask why, they're like, well, I don't know all the answers. As though anybody has all the answers. We've been taught that we need to have all the answers, as though the Bible is some kind of fact ATM, at best, or at worst, some kind of magic eight ball that if we just shake the Bible enough, it's going to poof out all the right answers. Friends, the Bible is an ancient document written by 40 different authors over the course of 1,500 years through multiple manuscripts and fragments. All of those then take the translators who are translating it from Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic into this English version of the Bible that we have in our hands. It gets a little confusing along the line. And when we open these pages of the Bible, we realize that, well, it's full of poetry. And dare I say, rock songs and plays and public places. And I know I've had more than one conversation about the Bible over my favorite beverage of choice. In his book, What is the Bible?, Rob Bell writes, you dance with the Bible, but you also interrogate it. You challenge it, you question it, you poke it, you probe it. You let it get under your skin. You read it, and we let it read us. Then we turn it like a gem again and again and again, seeing something new over and over and over again. Friends, I love that. We read the Bible, and we let the Bible read us. So with that in mind, think about this story. What makes you uncomfortable? What's actually happening here? What's going on? Do you have questions? Because you better believe I have lots of questions for this story. Why the centurion? Why is Jesus talking to a centurion, and why this servant? The Greek word for servant could be son, but more likely it's translated as boy. Now, friends, that has some interesting implications. What is really going on here? The centurion did not want Jesus to come to his house. Why is that? Is that out of reverence for Jesus, or is there something going on that makes him feel that he's separate from Jesus? Whatever's happening, hashtag, it's a little bit awkward. And yet, Jesus is determined to help this seemingly religious outsider. Why? Why would Jesus do something like that? Well, the best answer ever, Jesus eats with everyone. Say that with me. Jesus eats with everyone. Jesus is always widening the table, making room for people to enter the kingdom of God. Look at verse 10. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such a great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east to the west and will be taking places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done as you have believed it would. And the centurion was healed in that moment. Jesus has some impeccable table theology. The centurion is considered unclean, considered in Jesus' Jewish tradition. There's no way he could eat with this guy, let alone the servant. And the centurion understood that whatever was happening with Jesus was bigger than him, bigger than his authority, above his pay grade. The centurion knows a thing or two about authority. He knows a thing or two about power. He realizes Jesus has been, like, living in Capernaum. He's seen what Jesus is doing. He's noticed his power, and he says to Jesus, I see you. You don't need to come to my house. I believe that Jesus has some kind of direct line to the divine. Could it be, this is a centurion, I mean, break this down a little bit. This is a guy who believes in Roman gods and goddesses. Does he think that Jesus is some kind of Roman demigod? Is this Hercules? Is he just floundering around and thinking that, like, maybe Jesus is Zeus or something? I mean, this happens in the scripture. And no matter what, Jesus still accepts him. He doesn't disqualify the centurion or his servant's need for healing. Not only does Jesus move toward the centurion in his request, but Jesus also celebrates the interaction, saying this request reveals a great faith. Now, come on, Jesus. Isn't that going too far? I mean, this guy is outside the faith. He doesn't have the right beliefs. He doesn't follow the rules. How could he have a greater faith than those who already know what faith is? Ooh. This one makes me uncomfortable. Because what if we just stop thinking that we have to have all the gifts and all the answers and all the power and all the authority and all the faith, and instead we just open the doors, started telling people, come on in. We became these epic bringers and includers. What would it look like for us to love the 614 in such a way that we fully embraced the inclusive umbrella of the gospel? Well, brothers and sisters, if we did that, we better be prepared to be surprised. Prepare to be surprised. Say that with me. Prepare to be surprised. When we read the scriptures, Jesus doesn't box things into these churchy places and spaces. No, Jesus always stays curious. And as he's staying curious, he's surprised over and over and over again. And friends, that's a good place to be. Several years ago, I found myself on Holy Thursday gathered with a group. There were several churches. It was kind of an ecumenical gathering. And we had traveled down to downtown Tip City, where we were in a place called the Hotel Gallery. And in this hotel gallery, we were in there for this thing called prayers and pastries, because we wanted people at the noon hour to come and to be prayed over. And we had a lot of prayers, but not so many, or prayees, but not so many people to pray over. And so there was a group of us that said, okay, we'll let a few people stay in here and pray over the people who are coming at lunchtime, but we're going to go and pray over all of these businesses. We're going to make good neighbors, and we're going to pray business to business to business to business. And so we didn't go alone. We went two by two. Remember the story from last week, right? We went two by two, and I took a woman named Catherine with me. And so Catherine and I started praying for people. They were so nice. They were so excited that we were coming to pray over their business, and they were really welcoming. And we went down one side of the street, and we kind of turned the corner. And I realized the next establishment was Tony Bada Bing's. Now, Tony Bada Bing's is the local bar. And remember, I said, this is like the noon hour, and I thought to myself, if I am seen coming out of the bar at noon, and a church person sees me, well, folk might start talking. So I had a little bit of reservation, but I thought to myself, what the heck, I know what I'm doing in there. So Catherine and I, we go into the bar, and we're walking in, and it's pretty dark in there. I mean, it's kind of a dark place, and we walk in. And suddenly the lady behind the counter, let's call her Tammy. Tammy does a triple take. She looks at me with like the surprise in her eyes. And she says, oh my goodness, I thought you were Tina Fey. No. Actually, she said, I thought you were Sarah Palin. Yeah. And I said, I'm not Sarah Palin. But I am Pastor Rachel. And I'm here with Catherine. We'd like to pray over your bar. Well, there was a beer distributor with her, and I looked at him and I said, you want to join us? And I mean, they were dumbfounded. They were like, okay. So we hold hands, and I'm like, okay, Jesus, what do I do now? Like, how do I pray over this bar? And so I start to pray, you know, come on, Holy Spirit, come help me out. And so I'm praying. And I say something like, Lord, when people come into this space, they're longing for community and they find it. They find relationships and friendships here. And God, we're ever reminded that you're in this place. You're everywhere. You're here. So God, as people come into this place, may they be blessed with your presence and one another's presence and friendship. Be with them. Guide them and direct them. Help them to know that they're loved by you. Amen. And when I opened my eyes, Tammy was crying. The beer distributor was crying. I was tearing up. Catherine was tearing up. We were like having church right there in the bar. We didn't expect that to happen. We're totally surprised. I mean, God, you're not supposed to be there. You're supposed to be here in a place like this. And yet, God is ever reminding us that God can't be boxed in. God goes where God chooses. God is everywhere. So I wonder if we'd let scriptures like this soak in. Who is it that you struggle to see inside of God's inclusive embrace of the gospel? Who is it that you'd rather other and say, no, 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 that person's out. That person's on the outside. Who is it that you struggle with? Because I imagine all of the disciples were looking at Jesus hanging out with that centurion and saying, wait a second, Jesus. This is not how it's supposed to be. This guy's on the outside. So here's the challenge for the week. I want you to open yourself up to God possibilities. Maybe, just maybe, you're going to find yourself strolling into a local establishment and you'll experience God in a way that you never imagined possible. Maybe you'll find yourself listening to a community theater play, and what's being said out loud will make you recognize that God is so much more transcendent than we could ever ask or imagine. Maybe, just maybe, you'll hear a song that you've just never heard before, and if you're like me, your kids will share it from TikTok with you, and suddenly you'll realize, like, oh, that packs a punch I never expected to pack. And God's in that song. My kids are the one who shared it with me. Friends, stay curious. See the Bible for what it is, a gem to be turned and questioned and just seen as this amazing document that can inform our life and shape our life, but should never limit how we see others or God. Stay curious. And soon, you'll find yourself surprised. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that your Holy Spirit wouldn't fall on all of us gathered and scattered. And God, I pray for adventure. May we get into conversation with folks, maybe who don't think like we think, look how we look, vote how we vote. God, mess with us in an incredible way. Challenge us to be good neighbors and to love the 614 in ways that we couldn't even ask or imagine. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come. Pray this. Claim this. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said.